Judges chapter 5, resuming our study at verse 6. Judges chapter 5, resuming our study at verse 6. Part of our Bible study, we'll spend a few moments in silent prayer, giving us the opportunity to use the rebound technique. What is the rebound technique? The cross is here. Once you believe in Christ, you're in the top circle, eternal security. You're also said to be in this circle, which is called in the Bible, the filling of the Holy Spirit. You'll see many passages in the New Testament. It's a command. Be filled with the Spirit. Do not quench the Spirit, the negative side. Do not grieve the Spirit, the negative side. Walk by means of the Spirit. The word walk is peripateo, which means a lifestyle. What does all that mean, to be filled with the Spirit? Well, some of the holy roller churches, they jump around, do cartwheels and stuff. Oh, they got the ghost, they got the Spirit. Doesn't mean that at all. It's not emotional. When you're born again, you're entered in this circle, eternal security. You receive a human spirit. You receive God's eternal life. You receive 40 things. One of the things you receive is being filled with God, the Holy Spirit. This is temporary. This is permanent. Every time you commit a sin after you're saved, you're cast out of the bottom circle and you're put into the cosmic system. That's not Confederate States. That's cosmic system. This is Satan's system of thinking. And Satan is the ruler of the world, according to the Bible. Now, God controls history, but Satan is the ruler of this world. He's a super genius. And if you don't know Bible doctrine, you haven't got a chance to cross swords with his intellect. Some of the things that he does, for example, that catches everybody. We're all brothers. You've heard that, right? We're all the children of God. No, you're not. Jesus said to the Pharisees, your father's the devil. How could God be the father of all if their father's the devil? No, the only children of God are believers. But who's against we're all the children of God? You've heard that. It's a lie, straight from Satan. Very good lie. If you don't know Bible doctrine, you hadn't got a chance to raise your hand and say, no, you're not. Here's another one. Just love everybody. Love, 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 love. You don't need to worry about studying the Bible. Just love everybody, you'll go to heaven. Another lie. He has lots of good ones. And if you don't know Bible doctrine, you haven't got a chance. And of course, people think of Satan, well, this is sin stuff, getting drunk, adultery and stuff. That's child's play. That's child's play. Religion is his strongest ace card. Religion sells you Islam, Buddhism, Hinduism, all those religions. How do you get saved in those systems? Works. Be a good person, do the rituals, and maybe God will let you into heaven. It's called works. That's the antithesis of biblical salvation. There's no works. You can't do any works. In fact, if I gave every human good deed that every human ever did over the course of all humanity into your bank account, you're still going to hell. Because God is perfect. Your good works will never reach his works. This is his works. But see, Satan developed all these religious systems, and people are sucked into that by the millions, by the billions. But that's not God's will. The Bible has two directive wills for God. I want all humans to be saved. They're not. And the other directive will, I want all believers to grow up. They don't. The numbers are few, very few. So when you commit your first sin after you're saved, let's say you're saved at 10 years old and you get jealous at some other kid because they did this and you gossip about them. Gossip's a sin. Boom, you're here. Most Christians spend the next 50, 40, 80 years, whatever they live, here the entire time. And if you're here, you cannot grow up at all. The command to be filled with the Holy Spirit, you've got to get back here. How do you do it? Grace, 1 John 1:9, and many, many other passages. This is Old Testament stuff and New Testament stuff, but the Old Testament had a different system. But the New Testament says, 1 John 1:9, this is written to believers. It says, if a third class condition, maybe you will, maybe you won't, if you confess your sins, the word confess is homologeo, which means to name or to cite as in a court case. What's the court case? Jesus Christ versus your sins. So if you confess your sins, harmartia, God is faithful and just. That gives you the character of God. And then it tells you what he does. To forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. What does that mean? Well, if we confess our sins, let's do an illustration. You're coming to Bible class. You stop at a gas station. You steal some bubble gum. Everybody agree larceny is a sin? If you were here, you're now here. How do I get back here? Father, I stole bubblegum. Boom, you're back. Because all the unknown sins are bundled together and you're here. Now, some church systems have perverted this into their own little system of works. You go to a third party, you tell them what you did, they'll give you little things to do, and you get back good with God. That's a perversion of 1 John 1:9. 1 John 1:9 does not say you go to a third party. It says you come boldly to the throne of God. You represent yourself to God. You don't have to count beads or do any penance. You just name it. And don't tell God you'll never do it again, because you will. You just name the sin. Oh, that's too easy. Same objection you have from religious people. This is too easy. This is too easy. It wasn't easy for Jesus, if that makes you feel better. You saw what happened to him for 3 hours on the cross. It wasn't easy for him. And if God is love, shouldn't it be easy? Shouldn't it be a case where you don't have to look over your shoulder all the time? Am I good enough? You don't have to be good. I encourage you to be a good citizen, but it doesn't save you. And it doesn't put Bible doctrine in your brain. Good deeds do not put information here. So yes, I encourage you to pick up trash, be a good soldier, be a good whatever, you're good husband, good wife, good student, good whatever. But that doesn't get any points with God. God's only impressed with God. He's not impressed with you. That's why you're saved. He looks into your soul at the moment you believe in Christ. That's Romans. He imputes his righteousness to you. That's why you're saved. He's impressed with that. And of course, once you're saved, let's say this is your soul. Your soul's empty. It's got a lot of empty compartments. When you start to fill up your empty compartments by learning Bible doctrine, God's impressed with that and that. That's how you grow. This means you understand the doctrine of eternal security. That's, you understand the doctrine of the cross. God's not a hypocrite. He's not impressed with you. You're no damn good. And I include myself. Oh, you put up a good front. I put up a good front sometimes. But I'm not kidding myself. I'm going to sin to the day I die. There's no magical lifestyle change. I'm the same rotten person I was. But I'm in the family of God, and I can grow up to maturity. Once you reach maturity, you still sin. King David's a good example. He was a mature believer. Saw this hottie taking a shower. Bathsheba. It's all over. He was a mature believer in sin. And he didn't use the rebound technique for almost a year, and it almost killed him. The secret to his success is he would rebound. This is what this is called, rebound. I didn't develop the term. My pastor teacher that taught me for 30 years developed the term. But it's very descriptive. It's like basketball, rebound. Because throughout your life, you're going to be using this all the time, all the time. Be filled with the Spirit, be filled with the Spirit. But you got to do that, because if you're not filled with the Spirit, when you hear Bible doctrine, it will do you no good. You can't metabolize it and store it into your human spirit and your human soul. So this is a command to all of us. This is the absolute side of your spiritual life. This is the relative side. At any given moment, wherever you are on this, you're either here or here. So you want to keep short accounts. 1 Corinthians says, if we would judge ourselves, we would not be judged. You're the master of your own life. You determine where you are, and God commands us to do that. So we always do that in this Bible class. We give everybody a few moments in silent prayer to think of a known sin. Say that known sin in the privacy of your own priesthood to God the Father. Father, I stole bubblegum, whatever it is. And you're back here, ready to learn. Let us pray. Father, thank you again for the privilege of gathering here to study your word this morning. In Christ's name, amen. So we left off on Judges chapter 5, just to recap the system of judges. The Hebrews have come out of Egypt. They crossed the Jordan River finally. The first generation, as you remember, under Moses, they disobeyed God. Of that first generation, let's say it's 1 million people, do you know how many people reach maturity in the first generation according to the Word of God? 1 Corinthians chapter 10. Less than 10 out of 1 million. They'll all be in heaven. You can see them. 1 million. They hated Bible doctrine. And we studied that many, many times. And so God said, okay, you're going to turn around and go back in the wilderness for 39 years. I'm going to kill everybody off from the age of 20 up, except with few exceptions, Joshua, Caleb, and a couple others. That's about it. Now, you can't lose your salvation, but they lost all the rewards of coming into the promised land that God had promised them because they chickened out. Remember, they sent the scouts in, 12 scouts, 10 came back, said, dude, there's giants in the land. We can't conquer these people. It's true that the land is flowing with milk and honey. Caleb and Joshua came back and said, yeah, there's giants in the land. Let's go kick their butt. God said, we're going to do it. Let's go do it. Doesn't matter, we don't have an army. God's our army. He's a commander-in-chief. Go and kill him. But the people listened to the majority report, not the minority report. And so God said, okay, you do not trust in me. You do not use the faith rest technique, because God will test you. He tests all of us. That's how you grow. As you start to grow in your spiritual life, you're going to get little tests. For example, once you understand the doctrine of eternal security, you might do some sin that just shocks you. And you're going to have to recall this doctrine to pass the test. So the second generation came in. They conquered much of the hill country. This is the Mediterranean Sea over here. The Philistines were over here, but they didn't conquer it all. And so the next generation rose for about 375 years. They had a system of judges that God would appoint to rule over the tribes. And the pattern, as we said, is the same through judges. The people would reject Bible doctrine. They didn't want to learn Bible doctrine. They wouldn't go to the gates. They wouldn't listen. In fact, they started to practice the religion of the neighbors. And their religion involved child sacrifice and sex orgies. What they do, the worship of Baal, their god, was it looked like a big Buddha type of figure. And they'd be sitting on top of a furnace. They'd put their children into the furnace in a slow roast as they had orgies around the idol by the hundreds and the thousands as the kids screamed. And that's what the Hebrews started to do. That's how they fell into apostasy. If you can imagine that, this is historically confirmed by archaeological evidence and written evidence. That's what they did. You talk about evil. Now, some of these people that did this were born-again believers. You can't lose your salvation. Some of them were, some of them weren't. And so God would punish them. He would send in neighboring tribes, raiders to come in and do great harm to the people. The people would rebound. Oh, we sinned against the Lord. Please help us out. And God would send them a judge to help them out. Things were good for a while. Then they go right back to the same old stuff, rejecting Bible doctrine. And they'd get punished again. Please help us. And God would send another judge. We're studying the judge named Deborah, who is a warrior. And she is now in chapter 5 giving a song about her military victory over a very, very large chariot army and the men that she led. And so we have in verse 6, in the days of Shamgar, the son of Anath, in the days of Jael, the highways... Oh, we did that. I'm sorry. We're going to start back on verse 12, not 6. We should start at verse 12, chapter 5, 12. Awake, awake, Deborah, awake, awake, sing a song, arise, Barak, she's the general of the Jewish people, and take away your captives, O son of Abinoam. Then survivors came down to the nobles, the people of the Lord came down to me as warriors. From Ephraim, who's one of the tribes, those whose root is in Amalek came down, following you, Benjamin, another tribe, with your peoples. From Mashir, commanders came down, and from Zebulun, those who wield the staff of office, and the princes of Issachar were with Deborah. As with Issachar, so was Barak. Into the valley they rest at his heels. Among the divisions of Reuben, there were great resolves of heart. Why did you sit among the sheepholes to hear the piping of the flocks among the divisions of Reuben? There was great searching of heart. Gilead remained across the Jordan. This is another tribe. Why did Dan stay in ships? Asher sat at the seashore and remained by his landings. Zebulun was a people who despised their lives even to death, and Naphtali also on the high places of the field. The kings came and fought, then fought the kings of Canaan at Taanach near the waters of Megiddo. They took no plunder in silver. The stars fought from heaven. From their courses they fought against Sisera. The torment of Kishon swept them away, the ancient torment, the torment of Kishon. O my soul, march on with strength. Then the horse's hoof beat with the dashing of the violent steeds. Curse Mer-Oz, said the angel of the Lord. The angel of the Lord, of course, is who? Who is the angel of the Lord? Well, you can look up the doctrine of theophany in your book. The angel of the Lord is the Son of God. Jesus Christ is the angel of the Lord. It's in the singular. He is the God of Israel. If you ever wonder, who's the God of Israel? God the Father, God the Son, or God the Holy Spirit? God the Son is the God of Israel. 1 Corinthians chapter 10 tells you that very clearly. So what we have here is a listing of the tribes that did fight and the listing of the tribes that didn't fight. But they're all happy. Utterly cursed its inhabitants because they did not come to help of the Lord, to the help of the Lord against the warriors. Most blessed of the women of Jael, the wife of Heber the Kenite. Most blessed is she of women in the tent. He asked for water, and she gave him milk. In a magnificent bowl, she brought him curds. She reached out her hand for the tent peg and her right hand for the workman's hammer. Then she struck Sisera. He's the commanding general of the enemy forces. She smashed his head, and she shattered and pierced his temple. Between her feet he bowed, he fell, he lay. Between her feet he bowed, he fell. Where he bowed, there he fell dead. Out of the window she looked and lamented, the mother of Sisera through the lattice. Why does his chariot delay in coming? Why do the hoofbeats of his chariots tarry? Well, the answer, of course, they killed them all. They killed every single one of the enemy soldiers and destroyed all the chariots. So, again, this is a song. This was sung by the Hebrews. It's a victory song. And what does it teach us? There is no substitute for military victory. When you go to war, you kill the enemy. You wipe them off the face of the earth. When you don't, you've got troubles. We saw this, we've already seen this, because when Joshua came in, the command was to kill them all. They didn't kill them all. Well, why would God say kill the women and the children, kill them all? I just told you why. They are sacrificing their children to demon gods. And if you don't kill them all, you will adopt their ways. They didn't kill them all, they adopted their ways. So this might sound harsh to you, but that's because you do not understand the Word of God. Jesus Christ came the first time not to judge the world, but to save the world. The second coming, we studied what happens at the second coming. We studied the descriptions of Jesus at the second coming in Revelation and also in the Old Testament. It says that a two-edged sword comes out of his mouth. His clothes are dripping in blood. He's coming back the second time to kill, kill, kill. And he will kill a lot of people. Because at the second coming, all unbelievers will be killed and taken off the face of the earth. And that's called judgment. But for the first coming, he came on a donkey, humble, to save the world. Because it's not God's desire to kill. It's his desire to save. But see, here's the problem. We are beings made in the shadow image of God. The Hebrew word says in the image of God. The exact translation is the shadow image of God. We have free will. God cannot reach in and change your positive volition to negative volition or your negative volition to positive volition. If he could do that, you would no longer be a human. So in the image of God means we have sovereignty and you will get exactly what you want. Every human will get exactly what they want. And every human has equal opportunity to be saved. That's why Christ died on the cross for those that would reject him. If he just died on the cross for those that would believe in him, because he knows who those people are, it would take about maybe 10 minutes. He was there 3 hours. So the unbeliever, when they stand before the great white throne judgment, Revelation chapter 20, they will also be evaluated. And what's the condemnation for these people? Not sin. Sin is never mentioned as a condemnation for the unbeliever going to the lake of fire. Why? That would be double jeopardy. Even first-year law students understand that. If Christ died for the sins of the unbeliever, you can't go to hell for your sins. No unbeliever goes to hell for their sins. None. That was wiped off the table. Well, why do you go to hell? You do not have God's righteousness because you did not believe in the grace system of salvation. So in Revelation chapter 7, it says that the unbeliever's name is blotted out of the book of life, which means you had equal opportunity to be saved. But once you die, your name's blotted out. And then Revelation says that God, Jesus Christ, opens up a second set of books. There's another set of book. And you know what that book's called? It's called the book of Ergon, good works. So if this is your unbeliever set of, this is all the good works you've ever done in this book, all the good deeds you ever did. Let's say you've got 10,000 good deeds and a half because you shared one with JoJo. And God will say, sorry, this does not equate to righteousness. In fact, if I gave you the good deed of every human that ever lived in your good deed book, I'm still going to hell. Because you tried to match your good deeds with perfect God and you thought you're going to go to heaven. Because God's Santa Claus. He'll let you in. He can't let you in. If this is perfection, and God allowed imperfection into the circle, is the circle still perfection? Nope. He can't let you in. Or otherwise, he would no longer be perfect. So therefore, you have to have his righteousness, and he found a way to do that. So these people, are singing this song, and of course they're destroying the enemy, as they're commanded to do. So why does this chariot delay in coming? Verse 28, why do the hoofbeats of the chariots tarry? Her wise princesses would answer her. Indeed, she repeats her words to herself. Are they not dividing the spoil? In other words, they killed all the Hebrews. They're dividing their spoil. A maiden, two maidens for every warrior. This is what happens when you lose. Women are raped. Cities are destroyed. They would take children by their ankles and bash their heads against the stone walls. So military defeat has disastrous effects. And so that's what they're saying. Well, these enemy warriors, they're just dividing up all the women and all the spoils. To Sisera, a spoil of dyed work, that's the commanding general, a spoil of dyed work, embroidery, dyed work of double embroidery on the neck of the spoiler. Thus let all your enemies perish, O Lord, but let those who love him be like the rising of the sun in its might. And the land was undisturbed for 40 years. Okay, our last thing we're going to concentrate, verse 31. But let those who love him, remember we talked about that last hour. Every person says, I love God. And you've heard, we've talked about this before, Romans 8, 28. Even those not familiar with the Bible know this verse. All things work together for good. I'm just going to go along my little life. But they don't read the rest of the verse. It says, all things work together for good to those that love God. That cuts out most believers. They don't love God. If you're positive to Bible doctrine, the evidence that you love God is you're studying Bible doctrine. You're taking the Word of God into your soul as you're commanded to do. And all things will work together for your good in your life and in eternity. Because heaven is a place of vast inequality. The equality stuff again? Oh, yeah. If I could diagram heaven, it's a very flat pyramid, folks. Very flat. Every believer that believes that Christ died for sins, you're guaranteed a slot on the baseline. You're in. But see, there's only a few that advance to maturity. Very few. Very few. The Hebrews that came out of Egypt, a million of them are on the baseline. They don't go anywhere. Caleb and Joshua got up to the top. Moses got to the top. Moses' sister. Very few. And so, eternity is a long time. Wherever you think this life is, it's a drop in the bucket. So for the rewards that are set out in the Bible for the believers, and we have a whole doctrine of rewards, the Bible's chock full with rewards for the believer. The vast majority of believers will get no rewards. You'll have a resurrection body. You'll be in heaven forever. Your shame at the judgment seat of Christ will be short-lived. You'll rejoice in grace. But you will be a private for all eternity. There'll be a few majors, colonels, and generals. How'd they get rank? Well, they did what they're told to do. They rebounded. They used this. They lose this. They reached. They learned the mind of Christ. They did what they're told to do. And those people will have vast rewards for all eternity. And that can be you. It's not too late. You're not dead yet. I don't think. I'm looking around the room. Everybody seems to be breathing. But when you die, you're locked and loaded. And that's it. There's no purgatory. It's not in the Bible. Made up. So your status is here. But as I've said many times, there's promises in the Bible. And before I knew much Bible doctrine, I claimed this promise as a youngster. I said, God, keep me alive until I can reach maturity. If that's your prayer and you're honest about it, you can't die. Physically, you cannot die until you reach the highest level of spiritual maturity. You can't die. Because God doesn't lie. That's what God wants. God wants all believers to reach maturity. They don't. Why? It's the human free will thing again. We're different than a rock. And God cannot reach in, and he will not reach in and change your negative volition, because I don't want to learn Bible doctrine, to positive volition. It's never the issue that I didn't have a good teacher. Jesus teaching for 3 years? Zero. That's not the problem. The problem is the listener. As we say in the Army, when people miss, they shoot a target and they miss, oh, it's the gun. Uh-uh, it's not the gun. It's the gunner. Oh, the gun's off. No, it's you, dude, not the gun. So this is a challenge, obviously, to all of us. It's a reminder, because there's many times that you're in your free will, because I don't want to learn Bible doctrine. Okay, well, you can make that choice. You will get exactly what you want. If you want to be a private, hey, have a nice day. You can come visit me on my plantation in heaven. That's a metaphor. What is heaven like? I don't know. The Bible says that eye has not seen, ear has not heard, neither has entered into the mind of any believer what it's like. We just have language of accommodation like the crowns. Certain believers will get crowns. Most believers, no crowns. Certain believers will get a translucent uniform over their resurrection body. Certain believers will have access to special manna. They'll have access to special parts of the new heaven. They'll be doing all sorts of wonderful stuff. And if you want that, God wants it. If you want it, He wants it. How can you lose? But the good news is, even if you don't want it, you can't lose your salvation. No matter how many sins you do. Because see, what sin is going to get you unsaved? The Bible has a lot of logic in it. You think Jesus said, suppose you're going to do a sin, let's say July the 4th, 2024, you just really tie on a bender and you get in a fight over somebody and kill them. Do you think when that sin came down the pike, that Jesus said, I'm not going to die for that sin? No, he died. It says he died for the sins of every sin you will ever do. So what sin could get you unsaved? Logic. That's one of the doctrines of eternal security. Obviously, he didn't say, that's too much. There's only one unpardonable sin, and that's the sin of unbelief by the unbeliever. You can't do the unpardonable sin once you're saved. Once you're in, and you can't get out. So we will pick up chapter 6 on Wednesday. With our head bowed, our eyes closed, Father, we thank you for the privilege of studying your holy word. We pray that God, the Holy Spirit, will stir these things up into our soul and our human spirit so that we may fulfill the command that you have given us to grow in grace by means of the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.